Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Policy Committee for the Akron Metropolitan Area Transportation Study of Thursday, January 26, 2017, at 1:30 p.m. Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
We have a quorum. Is there any audience participation?
No.
The minutes from December 15, 2016 meeting, questions, comments, concerns? I will entertain a motion to accept the meeting minutes from December 15, 2016.
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Gonsi and second by Mr. Hairston. Please, when you make a motion, thankfully they did, when you make a motion or second, please preface it with your name so that Mr. Prater can record it properly. Thank you all so much. I have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Moving forward, item number three, staff report. 3A, financial progress report, Mr. Curtis Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 3A should look very familiar to our last meeting in December. That's because it's the same report. With the new year, we're having issues with our IT and putting in our December billing, so we're still showing the November billing. So we are slow in very good shape. We're right about where we should be with our budget, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept the financial progress report.
Bowling, move to approve.
Mr. Bowling, move to approve. Do I have a second, please? Thank you, Mr. Paradise. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Item 3E, technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, what we're kind of doing right now from a federal perspective is monitoring. We are now in the first 100 days of a new administration. Obviously, transportation and infrastructure were at least a larger part of the campaign trail than it sometimes is. We're trying to get a read on what we think potentially is going to happen and if it might positively impact AMATS. At this point, you know, we've heard infrastructure, but it also seems to cover things like dams, locks, as well as airports and bridges and major corridors. Right now we haven't heard much, at least from the Republican side of the aisle, about either deficit spending or going through, I would say, the normal federal channels for transportation infrastructure. Not concerned, because I think we'd still like to see a lot of this infrastructure be fixed, but I think there's a possibility that if there is a federal infrastructure bill, it may not come through the normal channels and could necessarily just focus on really almost specific projects throughout the state. So we're monitoring it. That being said, I think if you do have projects specifically that are shovel-ready, I would make the case, either send them to us, send them to your representatives, because I think, and Joe Paradise and I have talked about this, I think there may still be that opportunity that, and we've heard that states are submitting projects to the Trump administration for that specific purpose to show that there's a need. I think we obviously have needs, so it wouldn't be a bad thing to do for us as well. On the front of more just planning, we're in the final 6 months getting ready for us to complete our regional transportation plan, which we do every 4 years. I'll talk about that more specifically in one of the items, but we're on schedule with that, and you'll probably be hearing a lot from us in the next few months as we develop that plan. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, or if anyone else has other perspectives on what they've heard, maybe from a lobbyist or anything else, we'd be, please share.
Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Baker. Item 3C, AMATS Federal Funds Report, Mr. Poulet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 3C is the federal funds report. I don't have much to talk about as far as projects being sold since our last meeting in December because of the holidays and such. So now that we're entering the third quarter of the fiscal year, I do expect to see some projects moving. You have the funding program balance tables attached. Once again, we have these formatted by font type, and hopefully these will help us keep a little more accurate account of our balances for each fund. And that leads me to the next item, which is concerning TAP funds, the Transportation Alternative Program funding. Because some projects moved around, we currently have no projects programmed in fiscal year 2019. So if you have a TAP project that you would like to move up, please let us know, because we would like to fill that. Otherwise, we are in jeopardy of losing some of that funding. Or another option we might do is we may loan it to another NPO if that's possible. The last thing that I want to touch on is the funding policy subcommittee. We had a meeting on January 18th. We'll probably have one more meeting in February. And then what we'll do is we'll bring all the changes and present those to you probably at the March meetings. And then we may have a workshop, a special meeting in April. And then we'll probably look for approval in May or July. So that concludes the federal funds report. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer those.
And Dave, you know, if I can just add from the funding policy subcommittee, I know, as you all remember, it was about a year ago that we established that, well, we started the discussion of establishing that subcommittee. We've met now five times, and I think the goal is what we really want to do for a rollout to our members is to introduce it in March as a draft of what the committee kind of looked at, and we'll kind of explain it, but then have a workshop in April that we would invite all of our members to kind of get into the nuts and bolts of it. And depending on how that went, we would be looking for approval in May. If we got a lot of feedback, we still have time to wait and push that approval to July if necessary. So we're trying to build in a lot of policy committee review time because we know this is an issue that's important to a lot of our members of how we distribute our funding. So just to clarify on the timeline a little bit, our goal is to get it to you multiple times for you to see it.
Thank you, Mr. Kool-Aid. Moving forward, item number four, old business, 4A, final congestion management process report, attachment 4A in your packet, Amy Prater.
Hello. We went through the congestion management report last month, and it was in its draft form. We asked for any comments or suggestions. We received very, very, very minimal comments. We had a few spelling changes that were corrections, a couple of tables were mislabeled, things like that. For the most part, there was not any changes. So the final report is basically the same as what presented last month. So I'm looking for approval on the final.
Questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to pass the final congestion management process report.
Moore, I'll make a motion.
I have a first by Ms. Moore. Do I have a second, please?
Fancy, second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Item 4B, 2013 to 2015 traffic crash report, attachment 4B, Mr. Poulet.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about the delay here. Today I'm pleased to present the 2013-2015 crash report. During my presentation today, we'll look at the trends that's happening, discuss some new methodology that we started using, review a few of the high crash sections and intersections. We'll take a look at what's happening with bicycles and pedestrians. We have a new thing now that we have to do, and that's called safety performance measures. and then we'll review the ODOT safety program. Unfortunately, crashes did inch up a little bit. We had about 780 more crashes in 2015 from 2014. Injuries remain nearly the same. But also, you have to take into account that the daily vehicle miles traveled is also increasing. So they're kind of increasing proportionally. Unfortunately, we had a few more fatalities. We had 8 more fatalities in 15 than we did in 14. This trend is happening statewide and nationwide. Safety experts just can't seem to pinpoint why. And the only guesses we have at this time is maybe it's distracted driving or impaired driving. And impaired driving used to be mainly alcohol, but now a lot of there's a lot of drugs causing impaired driving. The new methodology we used is a GIS, a geographical information system method of plotting the crashes. What we do is we plot them on a map. We use the coordinates that come with the crash data to do that. In order to really do this effectively, we had to draw a radius of 250 feet around intersections and then a buffer of 50 feet around segments. And we did this for all classified all classified roadways and high crash locations. And it was around 3,000 of these that we had to set up, and we had to identify each one. This is a picture of Garrettsville. I picked Garrettsville just because it fit on the slide nice. But this is what the crashes look like when they're plotted. I mean, you can kind of tell there might be some problems for downtown, but you really can't look at this and say, well, that's the worst intersection or that's the worst segment. So that is why we drew a radius around the intersections and we drew buffer zones around the segments. Now what we can do is we can capture all the crashes that happen at locations, and each one of those have a unique ID. Each one of the intersections and segments have a unique ID, and we can see how many crashes are happening at each location. This is a little closer look. As you can see, each one is labeled, so they all have unique IDs, and that's how we more or less evaluated the crashes this time. Some of the challenges we had was, of course, it was a lot of work just setting this up initially. Now, once it's set up, we won't have to go through that again, but it was initially a lot of work. We discovered that there were some improperly located crashes, and we had to try to sort those out. One thing I discovered was a lot of crashes happened near police stations, and the reason that was happening is the officers would come back after their shift and write out the report, finish up the report, and then they'd use the coordinates of where they were sitting to record the crash. Intersection and non-intersection, we wanted to do that accurately. Freeway interchanges were sometimes confusing, and then crashes referenced to an address would sometimes be in an odd location because, as you can see on the slide, that those crashes that have a red circle around them were all crashes referenced to an address, and for some reason they actually put the crash, they referenced the crash to where the building was located instead of the highway in front of it. But we checked all the crash reports and it did in fact happen on the highway. Once we got through this part of it and we came up with our list of locations, then the rest of it was pretty much the same as it's always been. A high crash roadway section would be 10 crashes per mile per year and a crash rate of 1. And a high crash intersection would be 10 crashes and a crash rate of 1. After we came up with all the locations that met that criteria, we applied a composite score where we ranked them according to total number of crashes, crash rate, and severity index. And that is what determined where the location ranked in the There were 175 highway sections that met the minimum criteria. Those are in Table 1 of the handout. This is the list of the top five. No big surprises here. These are usually always near the top. Sometimes they just, the order changes a little bit. The good news is the first two have projects planned. In fact, the first one has a project already underway. So we do expect those projects to help with some of the safety issues. We had 308 intersections that met the minimum criteria. Those are in Table 2 of the crash memo. Once again, a lot of the same crash locations that are usually near the top, except one. The third one down, South Broadway and Mill, is a new location. And I'm not sure what's happening there other than I think the city is aware of it because I saw them cut some trees out last summer that might have been causing a site distance issue. So hopefully that will we'll figure out what's going on there and maybe make some, if nothing else, low-cost improvements. Freeways are analyzed by ODOT. This is done out of their central office. They divide the freeway system up into rural and urban locations. They divide them up into 1/10 mile segments. And they only really consider the top 50 in each category for further study. In our area, we had 13 locations on the top 50s. On the top 50 list, and those are shown on map 3 in your memo. We are continuing to monitor bicycle and pedestrian crashes. We are concerned about these because they have an unusually high amount of injuries. 83% and 88% of these crashes have injuries. However, with these, it's hard to define locations because if you map them, you see they're all kind of spread out. They're more random. You can maybe identify a corridor, but it's really hard to come up with like a certain location where these happen. Many involve children. When you start looking at these crash reports, you see that the bike riders, pedestrians, and drivers just may not be aware of some of the rules they need to follow. So education is a very effective countermeasure, I believe, in curbing these types of crashes. Fortunately, bike crashes have been coming down. The last 3 years, they've been reduced. We had 26 fewer bike crashes and 18 fewer injuries in 2015 than we did in 2014. And unfortunately, one fatality. This is the age of the people involved in bike crashes. As you can see, it's real top toward younger people. The black vertical line drawn on the graph is age 16. That's where the driving age begins. But it didn't seem to make a huge difference. It doesn't seem like things really go down until you get out into the 30s, and then it kind of goes up and down, but very top-heavy with youth. Most bike crashes happen at intersections. Once again, when you start looking at your crash reports, it's bikes not obeying stop signs, traffic signals, or cars not obeying traffic signals and stop signs, and bikes on sidewalks sometimes can cause problems at an intersection. Non-intersection crashes, there were considerably less on non-intersection segments, and then, of course, at driveways. A lot of times you see cars or trucks backing out of driveways and hitting a bicycle. Pedestrian crashes are actually up a little bit. There were 23 additional crashes, 13 additional injuries, and then 4 additional fatalities in 15 than there was in 14. I'm not sure why this is happening. Maybe people are walking more instead of biking, because it seems just the opposite of what bike rashes are doing. Once again, the age distribution is kind of top-heavy toward youth. High school, college age, people seem to be involved in a lot of the pedestrian crashes. And they happen pretty much everywhere at intersections and at non-intersections or mid-block. At intersections, I think what happens is a lot of times pedestrians cross against the signal. Many times the pedestrian does have the right-of-way and a car is turning to either left or right and they just don't see the pedestrian. One thing that I did find that is common among both bicycle and pedestrian crashes is many of them happen at night, and it's just so hard to see pedestrians at night. Most of the time, to make it even worse, they're wearing dark clothing. So that's I'm not sure what you can do about that other than, once again, education, walk against traffic, and just try to be careful. Safety performance measures. This is a new requirement set up by the Federal Highway Administration for states and MPOs. What we have to do is establish base targets, and then we have to establish future goals based on these targets. The crash report shows those targets on page 9. It's the average of the last 5 years of data. And our future goals are not established yet. A future goal might be, say, a reduction in each of those areas by maybe 1 or 2%. And we're going to wait and see what the state goals are, and then we'll probably have very similar goals for our MPO. The ODOT safety program is one of the best in the country. They spend over $100 million on safety safety projects, and these locations can be on any public road. Applications due April 30th and September 30th. They should be in the district office 6 weeks earlier. Funding is available for studies, design, and right-of-way. Typical requests range from as low as $50,000 up to $5 million, and occasionally even over that. And it's really a good program because the local match is 10%. So concluding some of the things that we found in the crash report was crashes and fatalities are unfortunately up a little bit, but that's statewide and nationwide. Every location in the table is eligible for the ODOT safety funding that's available to you. We also give points when we score projects. We also give points based on whether or not the location is a safety issue. And the locations will be sorted by community on our website. So you can go to your particular community and just see all the locations at one time. And that concludes my presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to accept the 2013-2015 traffic crash report.
I'm going to move.
Frank Harrison.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Poulet. Item number 5, new business. Letter A, draft fiscal year 2018 transportation planning work program and budget. Item 5A in your packet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Annually, the MS Policy Committee adopts a work program and budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The fiscal year begins July 1st. The work program identifies the staff planning activities that will take place in the upcoming fiscal year and describes the funding sources that will be used to pay for them. The MS budget is provided by a grant from the US DOT and is overseen by ODOT. Funding is matched. The federal share is 80%. ODOT provides 10%, and the members of the MS policy committee provide the remaining 10%. ODOT is providing its annual consolidated planning grant funds for this year in the amount of just under $1.2 million. Approximately $162,000 in local share dues is requested in order to fund the total budget of approximately $2 million for metropolitan planning, which is slightly more than last year's budget. The draft of the FY 2018 work program will be submitted to ODOT and the Federal Highway Administration for their review and comment end of February. The final work program and budget will be presented to the Policy Committee in May. The major elements of the work program include soliciting new project applications using STP and TAP funds, implementing the newly approved 2040 Regional Transportation Plan as of May of this year, maintaining the newly approved TIP as amended, and integrating a variety of performance measures as part of the planning process. The staff will also continue the annual traffic counting program and safety studies. The staff is requesting approval of the first draft of the FY 2018 work program and budget. Last week, the Technical Advisory Committee recommended approval of Attachment 5A. And we would be pleased to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I will entertain a motion to accept the draft fiscal year 2018 transportation planning work program and budget.
I'll so move. The sheriff.
I have a second.
Manning, second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carried. Item 5B, fiscal year 2018-2021 TIP first draft project list. The ever popular Mr. David Poulet.
Hey, thank you again. Attachment 5B in your handout is the 2018-2021 draft transportation improvement program. A couple highlights of the list is it has $354.1 million worth of highway improvements and $318.1 million in transit projects. But once again, this is total funding, so it's funding from all sources, not just damages. A couple of projects, significant projects that I'm kind of excited about is the State Route 8 bridge replacement over the Little Cuyahoga River and North Street is in the new list. That's our largest project with a total price tag of $142.6 million. Reconstruction of part of the Central Interchange, $68.6 million. Total reconstruction of State Route 8 between Graham Road and State Route 303, $53.7 million, and reconstruction of the I-76 Wooster Road interchange at $27.7 million. Once again, those are some of the more significant projects, but for your community, every project is significant. Some important dates. To remember, the first draft of the new TIP is going to be submitted to ODOT in February, 1st of February. There's a two-week public comment period from March 27th to April 7th. And then the final TIP is submitted to ODOT April 28th. Final approval by the Policy Committee in May. And then final approval by FHWA and FTA in June 30th. And another date that's not on here that we just recently established is March 30th at 6:30. There'll be a public meeting for our long-range plan and the TIP at the Akron Public Library downtown. So that's March 30th at 6:30 at the main library downtown. For a public meeting that will be for both long-range plan and the TIP. So basically what I want you to do at this time, stressing it is a draft, I just kind of want you to look it over, check projects that pertain to you and see if they're okay, check the years and the amounts, and if there's any issues, please give us a call, and we'll we still do have time to make changes before the final version is submitted. If there's any questions, be pleased to answer them.
Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to accept the 2018 to 2021 TIP first draft projects list.
Paradise, so moved.
I have a motion. And I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Item 5C, draft transportation outlook 2040 list of recommendations. Attachment 5C. Mr. Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So as I alluded to, AMETS is responsible for developing a long-range regional transportation plan every 4 years. That plan has to have a horizon year of at least 20 years. So our long-range plan is going out to 2040 this year. So what we're doing for the January meeting is we cultivated a list of projects that we think are important enough, they score highly on our congestion, safety, type of issues from our reports, same with the bike ped. Compile the list for you to review to make sure that we're close on these projects. So if you see a project that is in your community, take a look at it. And is this something that you think you might be interested in investing in the next 5 to 10 years? One critical thing to mention is that our plan, if your project involves safety, an operational improvement, or a preservation improvement, you are consistent with the plan. So you don't have to list the project. We typically kind of highlight projects from the federal perspective just to say, hey, these are the needs. The only projects that must be listed on the long-range plan are projects that would add capacity to your roadway network. So, and this wouldn't be a turn lane. This would be if you were adding additional capacity. So if you were widening State Route 91 from 2 lanes to 4 lanes or something like that, we would have to do air quality analysis on that. We would have to show that in the plan. So take a look at it. I mean, like I said, the lists that we provided are lists that have come from our needs reports, projects that we think are very important to our region. They do have to eventually be fiscally constrained, which means that we have to show that the cost of all these projects fits within our projected revenue through 2040. So you can imagine that's quite the roll of the dice for us to decide what kind of revenue we're going to have in 2040. But I think it provides us a pretty good basis for lists. So if you see projects that you think, hey, these are really important, but I don't see it on here, please let us know. When we come back in March, we will give you a draft list of projects that are fiscally constrained. To make sure that then, you know, getting your approval before we take it to the public meeting and then eventually approve the plan in May of 2017. So this is really our first blush at this. And again, any comments, please email me or Dave or anyone else on our staff to let us know if you see things that you think should be on the plan. But with that, if there's any discussion or questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Seeing none. Thank you much, Mr. Baker. Item number 6, resolutions. Resolution 2017-01, approving amendment number 10 to the Transportation Improvement Program fiscal year 2016 to 2019 to add 3 new projects and revise the schedule and funding to 1 project. Mr. Poulet.
Okay, thank you. This is amendment 10 to the current Transportation Improvement Program. We are adding 3 new projects, but they're not exactly new. We actually have these projects programmed out in the years that were beyond the current TIP. They were beyond fiscal year 2019. So what we want to do is just pull them back in so that they are in the parameters of this TIP. And the 3 projects that we're actually pulling into this TIP is Center Road East and Center Road West. Those are in New Franklin, both resurfacing projects at $800,000. And Cleveland-Maslin Road and the intersection of Worcester Road North and Hoppecon in Barberton. That is a resurfacing project in a minor, the intersection of Worcester and Hoppecon is a minor safety project. It's basically restriping that kind of that odd curve that is at that intersection. We also are revising the schedule and funding of Cyberling Way Phase 1. This is the last of the Goodyear projects that have been on our books for ages. We want to move that up from fiscal year 19 to fiscal year 2017. And then they're adding additional local funding to make that work. So if there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution 2017-01.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Moving forward, resolution 2017-02, approving amendment number 11 to the Transportation Improvement Program, fiscal year 2016 to 2019, to add ODOT awarded OTPP funds in the fiscal year 2017 for Metro RTA and PARTA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution seeks to add recently awarded federal funds for the area. ODOT is awarding these funds through its Ohio Transit Preservation Partnership Program. These are ODOT attributable highway funds that are being flexed over for transit use. Metro has been awarded and is requesting the addition of $2 million in federal funds in this fiscal year 2017, as part of their annual preventive maintenance budget. These funds will be used to maintain their vehicle fleet as well as their bus facilities and transfer locations. PARTA has been awarded and is requesting the addition of approximately $171,000 in federal funds this fiscal year to purchase three small buses. These funds are also awarded through the ODOT OTPP program. And lastly, PARTA is requesting an amendment to their preventive maintenance budget in this fiscal year to accommodate a change in the type of federal funds being used. The total project cost remains the same at approximately $1.3 million. Staff is requesting approval of Resolution 2017-02, and last week the Technical Advisory Committee recommended approval of this resolution. Are there any questions?
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I will entertain a motion to accept Resolution 2017-02.
Baldwin moves to approve.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Moore, second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Resolution 2017-03. Concurrence with revised air quality conformity analysis for the Cleveland Active Air Quality Non-Attainment Area to amend the I-480 deck project to the NOAACA Long Range Transportation Plan and TIP. That's a mouthful.
It sure is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 6C includes a summary of the proposed amendment to NOAACA's long-range transportation plan in 2016-19 TIP to include a bridge project sponsored by ODOT on I-480 over the Cuyahoga River Valley, extending from I-77 to Transportation Boulevard in Cuyahoga County. Since AMATS and NOAACA are within the same Cleveland-Akron A-County Air Quality Non-Attainment Area, a transportation conformity analysis is required for the amendment of regionally significant projects that add capacity to the region's transportation system. NOAACA has prepared the conformity analysis for its amendment that includes three conformity tests for the 8-hour ozone standard and fine particulate matter PM2.5 air quality standards as shown in the attached Exhibit 1. The results of the air quality analysis demonstrate that NOAACA's amended project will not interfere with conformity status in the Cleveland-Akron non-attainment area. This resolution establishes AMAT's concurrence with NOAACA's air quality analysis to amend the I-480 Bridge Deck project in Cuyahoga County. With that, the staff recommends approval of this resolution. Are there any questions?
That's a pretty ambitious project, isn't it? Hearing no questions, do I have a motion to approve? I'm not going to read the whole title. Do I have a second? Mr. Harrison? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Hearing none, motion carries. Item number 7, other business. ODOT budget presentation. We have our esteemed colleague, Mr. Anthony Ranker from District 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Curtis, for allowing me at the last minute to come in here. But Happy New Year to everybody, and with the new year on a odd number year, that means the start of our biennium budget cycle, which are always exciting for us, and I think everybody statewide should be excited this time because I think there's going to be some interesting things coming out, not only in the ODOT budget, but in the general fund budget. For brief history, what we have to do is our budget has to be introduced here within the next week or so, has to be passed by March 31st per law, then it has to sit for 60 days, 90 days before it starts on July 1st. So with that, we get to go first. Starting on February 2nd, the director will have his budget hearings in front of the 132nd General Assembly about what we are doing, what we are proposing. After that, there will be a State of ODOT address in central office on the 2nd. Some invitations could be going out for that to discuss a little bit about what we're introducing. But what the governor's office, along with the administration, would like myself and my other 11 counterparts to do to give you some of the highlights that what we're going to be looking for coming up before we look for passage on the 31st. So real quickly, we've been pretty successful over the last 6 years, to be totally honest. That success has really equated out to statewide $12 billion worth of projects, which equates to 6,000 projects. 2017-18, the next 2 years, which would be the 8 years of the Kasich administration, we are forecasting an additional $4 billion worth of highway improvement projects, as Dave put up there on the screen, many of which are happening right here in Summit County. Like if you throw his radius circle around us, really right here in Summit County. So with that, all that credit goes to a lot of the hardworking people, not only statewide, but mostly right here in District 4 to get all this work to Summit County. So we've been able to do all this. As everybody was aware, we had the debate about leveraging the turnpike funds, the turnpike bonds, which helped us. But we also, as an agency, became much more efficient. We came efficient to the point where we are down to, at District 4, about 400 employees from when I got there, 508 full-time employees, and statewide we're down about 1,000. All those efficiencies were done by getting the right people in the right place with no layoffs. So we're pretty happy with that. Hopefully myself, the gentlemen that are here with me today, along with the other 400 people who work for District 4, have been able to assist you over the last 6 years and for the next 2 years. And I think we've done a pretty good job, and we'll keep going forward. And as I like to say internally, we'll keep our foot on the gas pedal until somebody tells me to stop. They usually don't. So we'll get the projects on the shelf for you, and hopefully the money will clear up. So with that, back with the money, the additional $4 billion over the next two fiscal years, as I said, equates to $16 billion worth of projects in the 8 years of this administration. And if you believe the industry standards from the Ohio Contractors Association, that does equal out to 384,000 jobs. So that's getting people working, it's getting our infrastructure fixed, it's getting a lot of highway work done, and it's also improving us for safety and preservation on the roadway, especially not only the urban area of Akron, but also for me and Youngstown, Canton, and the other big cities throughout Ohio. So with that future going forward, a few little highlights, not going to steal the director and the governor's son because that will probably result in me being removed. But with that being said, you'll hear more about that next week, but you are going to see a different ODOT going forward. Not the different ODOT we talked about last time with asset management. We're not abandoning that plan. We're still going to be preserving a lot of what we have, but we're really going to be embracing technology going forward. Our mission was to plan, design, and construct the interstate system, but you're really going to be looking at ODOT and Ohio really jumping into the technology game. I'm sure everybody here has read the articles as I have. Also been involved with CVAV, connected vehicles, automated vehicles. That investment, the director and the governor announced US 33. It's a 35-mile section that we're investing $15 million in to safely pilot technology in real-life situations from the Honda plant out from Marysville into Columbus. That goes also with Columbus getting the Tiger Grant for the Safe Cities, a lot of other technology-based improvements to the roadways. Now, I'd like to be able to say in my career I might be able to see some of these, but after 32 years and three tours of duty with ODOT, that might be a little bit forward-thinking that it might happen. But with that, as a state, under the governor's leadership with Director Ray, we have to look forward to be able to embrace these technologies because they are getting here faster than we know. Drones, automated vehicles, all sorts of things that could be happening. We're partnering with our friends at the Turnpike. We are going to be doing the, as you guys have all said too, saw too, they did one of the platoon trucks. We're looking for the Pittsburgh to Detroit corridor on the Turnpike to be one of the leaders in that. That comes right through Portage and Summit County. We're looking to expand that and be the key piece from New York to Chicago. So you'll be seeing a lot more from the governor and the director about this and a lot of what we're going to be doing for the future. But again, it's not going to seem like we're going to be doing much different here in the Akron, Summit County area, at least through the end of the Summit 8 Bridge Rehab Project, probably in 2022. But with that, there is going to be a big difference statewide in the way that we embrace our projects, look at the innovative corridors, and look at technology as something that we can leverage to not only improve and safely improve our travels, but also to get Ohio invested in the future where all this is going for. And just for a little background, again, you can Google all this. A lot of the Midwest states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, are all on top of this because of the weather situations we have. This is the way they cannot test what they need to do in Silicon Valley. I'm sure they'd like to, but they can't get it to snow. They can get the weather to go 50 degrees in 15 minutes like we get. So we are right where we need to be to do this, but we need to be one step in front of the game. We'll be creating a different department called TISMO with our current thing, which is Transportation Systems Management and Operations, where we are going to be looking at all the technology going forward. And with that, again, we look forward to working with you. I appreciate everything that you've done for us over the last 6 years, and looking forward to working with you for the next 2 years. So with that.
Thank you, Mr. Yerenker. I would like to add my personal kudos and thanks to all of these folks at ODOT District 4. They really do go out of their way to help us up here, and it's nice to have those people in place. I hope you guys are around for at least another 11 years or so.
They're all much younger than me, Mayor.
I've been looking forward to it. I mean, it's really quite a treat work with them, dealing with mostly with Chad and Steve and with Tony. It really is. It really is good to have the people in the positions that not only want to help you but know how to help you. And so, thank you again, and thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right. That being said, next regular meeting is Thursday. My specs are on here. Thursday, March 23rd, 2017 at 1:30 p.m. right here in this ballroom at the Hilton Garden Inn, 1307 East Market Street. And with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you all.